Yes, yes, yes. I can just hear some people now impatiently saying, you've made this point before.
And they would be right, of course, because, as always, this dialogue is circular, curling back in upon itself. But if they are impatient, it may be because something is being said here over and over which they do not want to hear. Something is being observed which they do not want to see. We are venturing again near that domain that you call social spirituality, and many people do not want to go there. It forces them to look at things they do not want to look at. Yet you have just made my larger point. Only you can decide how to apply the truth of oneness. All the preaching and all the teaching in the world will not change a thing. Only when there is a change in the human heart will there be a change in the human condition.
What can cause such a change?
The question is not what, the question is who. And the answer is you. You can. Right now.
Me? Now?
If not you, who? If not now, when?
An ancient question from Jewish wisdom literature.
Yes, I've been asking it for a very long time. So what is your answer?
Okay, all right. My answer is me, now.
From your mouth to my ears.
Remember, my child, one of the seven steps in creating a friendship with God is to help God. You have just decided to do that. Good for you. That's exactly what it will produce. Good for you.
When you agree to spread the word, to carry the message that can change the human heart, you play an important role in changing the human condition.
This is why all spirituality is ultimately political.
Yes, but may I argue with you a bit here? I thought you said there was nothing we have to do.
I did say that, and there isn't.
So what are we talking about here? Isn't carrying the message something that I'm doing?
No, it is something you are being. You cannot do the message, but only be the message. For you are not a human doing, you are a human being. You carry the message as you, not with you. You are the message. This is your spirituality in action. Do you not see that? Your message is your life lived. You spread the word that you are. Is it not written, and the word was made flesh?
Yes, but is this what that meant?
Yes.
How can I know that? I mean, for sure.
You have my word. You have my word in you. You are quite literally the word of God made flesh. Now say, but the word, and your soul shall be healed. Speak the word, live the word, be the word. In a word, be God.
Oh, my word.
Exactly, that is exactly right.
Is that where this is all going? I'm supposed to be you?
You are not supposed to be, you are. I'm not asking you to do anything, I'm telling you who you really are. You are already what you seek to be. There is nothing that you have to do. And that is the third point in the Holy Wisdom Trinity.
But if I go out and try to act like God, people will think I'm crazy.
They'll think you're crazy for being totally joyful, totally loving, totally accepting, totally blessing, and totally grateful?
No, I mean if I go out and try to act like God.
But that is how God acts. What you mean is that people will think you're crazy if you go out and try to act the way you think God acts, namely all-powerful, controlling, demanding, vengeful, and punishing.
But vengeance is yours, saith you.
No, you saith that. I never saith that.
And so then one acts like God by adopting the five attitudes of God. Not the God we imagine in our nightmares, but the God who really is that it?
Yes. And remember, this is not about doing, but about being. These attitudes are things you are being. And as you make these statements of being consciously rather than unconsciously, you begin to live from intention. You begin to live deliberately. Remember, I have suggested that you live deliberately, harmoniously, and beneficially. And I've explained to you what it means to do so. Do you need more examples of that?
No, I think I understood that when we explored it before.
Good. But now let me tell you a secret. Do the third, and the first two will come automatically. Determine to live beneficially. Decide that your life and work will benefit others, and you will find yourself living deliberately and harmoniously. This will be true because to live beneficially will cause you to live from intention, doing things deliberately and consciously rather than unconsciously, and will result in your living harmoniously, because that which benefits
others cannot be in disharmony with them. Now I will give you a tree of tools with which you may be sure that your life will be lived beneficially. These are the core concepts of holistic living: awareness, honesty, responsibility.
Boy, you're giving me a lot of meat here, a lot of material. How much longer is this teaching going to go on?
All of your life, my friend, all of your life.
It's never going to be over, is it? There's never going to be a time when I can say, I've got it, and just be done with it.
There may very well be a time when you can say, I've got it. But the moment that time arrives, you will notice that there is more to get. This is because the more you see, the more you see that there is more to see. Do you see? And so you will never stop the process of growing and getting. You cannot grow too big. You cannot grow too fast. You cannot grow too much. That is not possible. You cannot finish growing. There is no end to how big you can be. And you do not have to worry about getting it while the getting's good, because the getting is always good. All you are getting through these teachings about life is good for you.
And yet you've said I have nothing to learn.
True teaching is not a process by which you learn, but by which you are caused to remember. There's nothing here that is new to you. Your soul is being startled by none of this. True teaching is never a process of putting knowledge in, but of drawing knowledge out. The real master knows he has no greater knowledge than the student, only greater memory.
You said you wanted to know how to apply in the real world, in everyday life, as practical, functioning truth, what you have found in our conversations to be of value. I am suggesting ways in which you may accomplish that. I am helping you get what you want. This is what it means to have a friendship with God.
Thank you. Thank you, then. So tell me about the core concepts.
Awareness is a state of being in which you may choose to live. It means to be awake to the moment. It is about being keenly observant about what is so and why, about what is occurring and why, about what can cause it not to occur and why, about all the possible and the most probable outcomes of any choice or action, and what makes them possible and probable.
To live in awareness is to not pretend that you do not know.
Remember, I told you that there appear to be those who know, but who pretend that they do not know. Awareness is about being aware and being aware that you are aware. It is about being aware that you are aware that you are aware, and about being aware that you are aware that you are aware that you are aware.
Awareness has many levels.
Awareness is about being aware of the level of awareness of which you are aware, and it is about being aware that there is no level of awareness of which you cannot be aware, if you are aware of that.
When you live a life of awareness, you no longer do things unconsciously. You cannot, because you are aware that you are doing something unconsciously, and that, of course, means you are doing it consciously. It is not difficult living a life of awareness when you are aware that it is not difficult. Awareness feeds on itself. When you are unaware of awareness, then you cannot know what it is like. You do not even know that you do not know. You have forgotten. You really do know, but you have forgotten that you know, and so you might as well not know at all. That is why remembering is so important. This is what I am here to do. I am here to help you remember. That is what friends are for. It is what you are doing, too, in the life of another, in the life of all others. You are here to help others remember. This is something you may have forgotten. Once you have been made to remember, you are brought back to awareness. Once you come back to awareness, you begin to become aware of your awareness, and you are aware that you are aware. Awareness is about noticing the moment. It is about stopping, looking, listening, feeling, experiencing fully what is happening. It is a meditation. Awareness turns everything into a meditation: washing dishes, making love, cutting the grass, saying a word out loud to another. All becomes a meditation. What am I doing? How am I doing this? Why am I doing this? What am I being while I am doing this? Why am I being this while I am doing this? What am I experiencing right now? How am I experiencing it? Why am I experiencing it the way I am experiencing it? What am I being while I am experiencing it? Why am I being this while I am experiencing it? What does any of this have to do with what I am experiencing? What does any of this have to do with what other people are experiencing of me? Awareness is moving to the level of the unobserved observer. You are watching yourself, and then you are watching yourself watch yourself, and then you are watching yourself watching yourself watching yourself. Finally, there is no one watching you watch yourself. You have become the unobserved observer.
That is full awareness.
It's easy. It's not as difficult or as complicated as it sounds. It's about stopping, looking, listening, feeling. It is about knowing and knowing that you know. It is about ending the pretending. Now you are really tending to business. You are tending to yourself. In the past, you were doing what you did before you were tending. You could call that pre-tending.
Oh, this is remarkable. I've never heard anything like this.
Yes, you have. This is what the Buddha taught. This is what Krishna taught. This is what Jesus taught. This is what every master who ever lived and who lives now has taught. There's nothing new here. There's nothing that is startling your soul. When you stop pretending, you become totally honest. Honesty is the second tool. Honesty is about saying, first to yourself, then to others, what it is of which you are aware. Honesty is what you stand for. You're no longer taking things lying down, but standing for something. You may have noticed that you cannot stand for something until you stop lying all around. This is why it is said that when you are totally honest, you are truly upstanding. In Conversations with God, Book 2, the five levels of truth-telling are listed, and it is explained how those five levels can result in a life of total visibility, or what is also called transparency. These two words stand in interesting juxtaposition to each other. To be totally visible is to be utterly transparent. That is, people can see right through you. There are no hidden agendas. The more visible you become, the more transparent you are. Use the tool of honesty consistently and watch your life change. Use it in relationships. Use it in business interactions. Use it in your politics. Use it in school. Use it everywhere, all the time. Be aware of what you have done, and then be honest about it. Be honest about the outcomes you know very well that you have produced. Then choose to take responsibility for them. This is the third tool. It is a sign of great maturity, great spiritual growth. You will never want to do this, however, as long as your society equates responsibility with punishment. Too often in the past, taking responsibility has meant taking a fall. But responsibility does not mean guilt. Rather, it means a willingness to do whatever you can to make the outcomes you produce the best they can possibly be, and to do what it takes to remedy whatever can be remedied, should others choose to experience the outcomes as damaging in any way.
You know, some people have chosen to walk a path that says each person is responsible for his own outcomes. And since we're all creating our own reality, therefore, I'm not responsible for what happens to you, even though I may have caused it. It's what I call a New Age bypass. It's an attempt to twist the logic of the New Thought movement, which proclaims that every human being is a creator.
Yet I tell you this, you are each responsible for each other. You are truly your brother's keeper. And when you understand this, all the misery, all the sorrow, all the pain of the human experience will disappear. You will then create a new society based on the new gospel, we are all one, and supported by the core concepts, awareness, honesty, responsibility. There will be no other laws, no other rules or regulations. There will be no legislation and no need for legislation. For you will have learned at last that you cannot legislate morality. Your schools will teach these core concepts. The entire curriculum will be built around them. Subjects such as reading, writing, and arithmetic will be taught through them. Your worldwide economy will reflect these core concepts. The entire infrastructure will be built around them. Activities such as buying, trading, and selling will be guided by them. Your self-governance will support these core concepts. The entire bureaucracy will be built around them. Departments such as public service, justice, and resource management, and distribution will be administered according to them. Your religions will support these core concepts. The entire spiritual belief system will be built around them.